Hi, and welcome back to the School of Mary live cynical series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So back to you, Mother, sisters.
Yeah, should we go and turn it over to the San Marino sisters at this point? But they want to.
You're in charge.
Okay.
Hi, sisters.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Hello. So we were talking at the beginning how the divine will, it's a great gift, and how good it is. And on volume 27, on January 26, 1930, also Jesus says to Luisa how important it is to pray in the divine will for the coming of the reign of the divine will on earth. And it say, after this, I continued to pray so that blessed Jesus would hasten in making the so longed for kingdom of the divine will come upon earth. And my beloved Jesus, as though wounded by such a prayer, for he himself so much longed to see the triumph of the divine will upon earth, told me, my daughter, the prayers done in my divine volition to obtain the advent of its kingdom upon earth hold a great empire over God. God himself cannot rid himself of it, nor can he not grant it. In fact, as the creature prays in my divine fiat, we feel the strength of our will that prays with its empire, with its immensity. It extends everywhere, and embracing the universal strength, the prayers extends everywhere in such a way that we feel surrounded from it all sides. We feel our own will praying within us, and from prayer it changes into command and says, I want, and as it rules over our divine being with its sweet empire, we say, we want. Therefore, the prayers done in our divine fiat can be called decision, commands that carry the signed deed of what is wanted. Therefore, continue the prayer in our fiat, prayers that move heaven and earth, and even God himself, if you love to see my kingdom upon earth, and I will pray together with you, in order to obtain the intent, more so since the ultimate purpose of creation is precisely this, that our divine will was to reign on earth as it does in heaven. So this is a good reminder to keep reminding ourselves every day to pray in the divine will and to see how powerful is Jesus itself come to pray in us. So it's basically himself asking to himself for the kingdom of the divine will to come on earth, or for anything that we pray, if we want to pray for anything, if we do that in divine will, has a very, very high potency, and we can obtain, if it's God's will, of course, everything that we ask, because it's Jesus himself asking for that, for everything that we need. So it's very important to pray in the divine will, and to do acts and rounds in the divine will.
Thank you, sister. My passage, I have two, actually. Volume 12, April 15th, 1919. At the beginning, Peter, you and Mother were saying how, you know, a lot of people don't accept this, but, you know, we have to, you know, persevere, and we know this is truth, and we'll be the few, you know. And this is this passage. I'm just going to read the second half of it, because that's kind of what struck me the most. Okay, Jesus is telling Luisa, he says, only those who receive the good of receiving the seed of my will in their hearts dispose themselves to receive the good of seeing me resurrected. He explains, he said, now the portent of my redemption was the resurrection, which more than refulgent sun crowned my humanity, making even my most tiny acts shine with such splendor and marvel as to astonish heaven and earth. The resurrection will be the beginning, the foundation, and the fulfillment of all goods, crown and glory of all the blessed. My resurrection is the true sun, which worthily glorifies my humanity. It is the sun of the Catholic religion. It is the glory of every Christian. Without resurrection, it would have been as though heavens without sun, without heat, and without life. Now, this is a part that kind of puts things more into perspective. He says, now my resurrection is the symbol of the souls who will form their sanctity in my will. The saints of the past centuries symbolized my humanity. Although resigned, they did not have continuous act in my will. Therefore, they did not receive the mark of the son of my resurrection, but the mark of the works of my humanity before my resurrection. Therefore, they will be many, almost like stars. They will form a beautiful ornament to the heaven of my humanity. But the saints of the living in my will, who will symbolize my resurrected humanity, will be few. In fact, many throngs and crowds of people saw my humanity, but few saw my resurrected humanity. Only the believers, those who were most disposed, and I could say only those who contained the seed of my will. In fact, if they did not have that seed, they would have lacked the necessary sight to be able to see my resurrected and glorious humanity, and therefore be spectators of my ascent into heaven. Now, if my resurrection symbolizes the saints of the living in my will, and this with reason, since each act, word, step, etc., done in my will is a divine resurrection that the souls received, it is a mark of glory that she receives. It is to go out of herself in order to enter the divinity and to love, work, and think, hiding herself in the refulgent sun of my volition. What is the wonder if the soul remains fully risen and identified with the very sun of my glory and symbolizes my resurrected humanity? But few are those who dispose themselves to this, because even in sanctity, souls want something for their own good. While the sanctity of living in my will has nothing of its own, everything is of God. It takes too much for souls to dispose themselves to this, to strip themselves of their own goods. Therefore, there will not be many. You are not in the number of the many, but of the few. Therefore, be always attentive to the call and to your continuous flight. So, you know, the purification, you know, the fiats that we have to constantly give, you know, it's important, you know, it's dying to ourselves, and dying to yourself is not a pleasant thing, a feeling. You know what I mean? It's not a pleasant feeling. It's saying no to something that you desire, you know? And so, I think if we're attentive, to be faithful to the Lord, to be faithful to what he asks. And when he asks of us something that's hard, realize that that's an opportunity to die to yourself. That's an opportunity to say yes to say yes to God and no to your humanity, you know? And, so I think, with this, it kind of, and even the fact that he said, you know, only a few people saw him resurrected. I mean, well, after his resurrection, it's true, you know? So it's, saying that that's like how the saints who will be living in his divine will is like that selected few, you know, we have to have that seed of the will of God within our souls. And, so I thought this one was really a beautiful reading. And this was April 15th. Now, the second one I wanted to read was on the same volume, volume 12, September 13th, 1919. He talks about fusing oneself balances the reparations. He says, my daughter, the purpose, this is Peter, you had mentioned this earlier, and it made me chuckle because I remember reading it and I put a big star by it. Because Louisa, she was thinking about her poor state. She says, I was thinking about my poor state and how I have remained like a useless being and all this, you know, how she shared her saga. And then he tells her, my daughter, the purpose of your life is known to me, and it is not up to you to investigate it. This made me laugh. he says, however, know that just fusing yourself in me every day and many times a day serves to maintain the balance of all the reparations, because only one who enters into me and takes from me the origin of everything she does can balance the reparations of everyone and everything. She can balance the glory of the Father on the part of creatures, because an eternal being and an eternal will are within me. And therefore, I was able to balance everything, satisfactions, reparations, and complete glory to the celestial Father on the part of all. And he goes on to say, therefore, as you enter into me, you come to renew the balance of all the reparations and of the glory of the eternal majesty. Do you think this is trivial? Don't you yourself feel that you cannot do it without, you cannot do with without it? And that I do not leave you before I see you fusing yourself in each one of my members in order to receive from you the balance of all reparations as you substitute yourself in the name of the whole human family. Try to repair me for everything as much as you can. If you knew how much good the world receives when a soul without a shadow of personal interest, but only for love of me, rises between heaven and earth and united with me, balances the reparations of all. So I think it's also as we're on this journey to remember to repair for all the sins that offend the Lord on behalf of course, you know, when we're doing our acts and we're doing our rounds, that's what's going on. But it helps to know what's going on when you're doing that. You're not just doing it for the sake of doing it. You know, you're like he says here, you're balancing everything out. You're repairing, you know, there's grace that is available for those who are open to it. And also it says, you know, without a shadow of personal interest, of course, you know, you can't really control that. So you have to leave that in the Lord's hands, but at the same time, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to, you know, because the Lord, the greatest gift, like even he says in the beginning volumes, the greatest gift he can give a soul is the gift of self-knowledge, accepting that gift, with thanksgiving and humility and realizing, okay. So maybe I do have personal interest, but you know what? I'm going to give it to Our Lady. I'm going to give this to you. I don't want this. I don't want it to be like this, but this is the truth. So I'm just going to give it to you and you take care of it. Yeah. She'll Marianize it. Was that the word? Yeah.
Yeah. I like that phrase.
Yeah. So, those were my two passages. This was September 3rd, 1919, volume 12.
You know, sister, the investigate's really important too, because if we think about everything that Jesus told us about that, he says that the divine will cannot be comprehended by the human intellect. So if we try to find it in the human intellect, it's nowhere to be found. It's like looking in your bedroom for your keys when your keys are, you know, in the other room. I mean, as hard as you look, you're not going to find them. So he actually wants us to wait until we talked about those lights. He said, I'll give you a light. And if you go further, I'll give you another light. So whatever we're having, whatever issues we have here, it's going to be answered there. And it always happens. It may not be the next page, maybe the next volume, but it's going to be there if we just keep going forward. But yeah, investigating is going to wait. It's going to waste a lot of time. So it's going to put us in the mud. We're going to be stuck in the mud.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a distraction too. It's a temptation to think about it, because it's going to take you through a whole other road, a muddy road, you know?
Right. I'll figure this out. No, we're not.
You were talking about fusing, and I was reading the other day that when you fuse your will, Jesus was telling Luisa, you become part of the divine family. So every time we fuse, we automatically enter in this divine family. And also every time we give our human will to God, to Jesus, he will accept as a new gift. Because once Luisa said, Jesus was telling Luisa to give the divine, her human will, and Luisa told, but I already gave it to you. And Jesus say, no, give it to me every time, because every time you give it to me, it's a new gift. It's like you're giving it to me for the first time, and because our human will is such a big thing, and every time we give it to Jesus, it's like we give it to for the first time. And then every time we give it to him, the divine, our human will, Jesus will give us his divinity to us. So the more we give our human will, the more he will give us light, he will give us beauty, he will give us knowledge of the divine will. útil. So it's
you know, that reminds me of something I read recently too in this volume. How Luis, he was he told Luisa, because she was thinking of herself, and he told her, he said, don't think about yourself. When you think about yourself, you come out of my will. You're going, you know, so that's what, and he had mentioned that you have to constantly give me your will in that sense. Like Sister Gloria, you know, where, you know, when you think about yourself and you have all these miseries, you see, you're already, it's a temptation too. It's a distraction. It takes you away from, we have a mission. Our mission is to love God, to repair on behalf of all humanity. This is our job is we can't be thinking about ourselves or even our own sanctity. We've got to think about Jesus, about loving him, about saving souls, about repairing his Sacred Heart, you know?
Yeah. And then automatically when the person lives in the divine will or try to live in the divine will, he is in continual communication with all the divine family. So in other words, you do everything that they do, you do, you, because you are part of that family, and you have you're part of that family. So it's like you become another god, in other words.
Yeah. With little g, yeah.
Yeah, so true. So, you know, I'm going back to the investigating. I know I'm behind a bit, but, you know, everything, like, for example, even the quote from St. Rita that we reiterated earlier, you know, be at peace with your own soul, then heaven and earth will be at peace with you. So if we take that by itself, yeah, it makes sense. But then if we add that to the divine will, and let's say, you know, for example, God created his own personal Eden in the body and soul of man, that he might receive God's divine harmony. So if we're not in harmony in ourselves, how can we be harmonized in all of creation? We can't. We're going to be in exile still. So it starts with us. And there's no greater way to be in harmony, to be in that joy, in that love, than to be journeying in the divine will. It's all love. Reciprocal of love, like Sister Francesca reminded us several months ago.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, to live in his divine will, of course, you have to do his will. We were talking, you know, earlier about eating sweets and ice cream, and, you know, but you have to ask our Lord, what do you want me to eat? Do you want me to eat this, Lord? Do you
Which
want me to do this?
Flavor do you want
me to get? But, you know, if we're constantly giving into ourselves and everything we desire, you know, Sister Benedicta mentioned desires, that we, you know, deprive ourselves of our desires, we're going to find the cross easier. But if we're constantly spoiling ourselves, we will never find the cross easy. So life will become more difficult. So you know, the sacrifice, you know, when we go through Lent, you know, we give up things and you find you get a real peace and you get a real joy from that, not giving into yourself and everything you want and desire. But we spoil ourselves in taking whatever we want, whenever we want it, you know. Yeah, I remember Tom Fay, when he first started reading the Divine Will, he said he had a habit of going to the refrigerator, opening the door and getting a snack. And after he started reading the Divine Will, he would go to the refrigerator and he'd ask himself, he would ask our Lord, do you want me to eat this? Do I need this? And if the answer was no, he'd walk away. You know, so we can ask our Lord, do you want me to take this? Now, yeah, maybe in one little piece of chocolate, or one little bowl of ice cream, but do you want five bowls of ice cream, or, you know, five bars of chocolate? You know, that would be against God's will. So, you know, we have to say cigarettes, you know, maybe people might want to give up cigarettes, not good for your health. Does God want you to smoke those cigarettes that may destroy your lungs? You know, you need to ask him those questions. And if you're going to live in his will, you must ask him, is this of your will, what I'm doing? Then you can, he won't do anything that's against his will in you. So if he's going to do these acts in you, they have to be according to his will.
And also, Mother, just a disclaimer, you know, if you're in public, you may want to do this silently in your interior, not verbally. Jesus, do you want me to have this ice cream? Because people may look at you differently.
No, this is a silent thing. Everything within, the divine will is something you live in your interior with him.
Did you learn that the hard way, Peter?
Yeah. Who's he talking to? My Lord, they'll definitely run away from you.
I was just reading in volume 30. It says, you must know, our Lord was saying, you must know that one who lives in the divine will reacquire among so many prerogatives the gift of infused science, gift that will be her guide in order to know our divine being. that will facilitate for her the carrying out of the kingdom of the divine fiat in her soul. It will guide for her in the order of natural things. It will be like the hand that guides her in everything and will make known the palpitating life of the divine volition in all created things and the good that it continuously brings her. The gift was given to Adam at the beginning of his creation. Together with our divine will, he possessed the gift of infused signs in a way that he knew our divine truths with clarity. Not only this, but he knew all the beneficial virtues that all created things possessed for the good of the creature, from the greatest thing even to the littlest blade of grass. Now, as he rejected our divine will by doing his own, our fiat withdrew its life and the gift which he had been bearer of. Therefore, he remained in the dark without the true and pure light of the knowledge of all things. So with the return of the life of my will in the creature, its gift of infused signs will return. This gift is inseparable from our divine will, as light is inseparable from heat. And where it reigns, it forms in the depth of the soul the eye full of light, such that looking with this divine eye, she acquires the knowledge of God and of created things for as much as is possible for a creature. Now, my will withdrawing, the eye remains blind, because it who animated the sight departed. That is to say, it is no longer the operating life of the creature. So he says, such is my will. Where it reigns, it centralizes in the soul this gift of infused signs that more than eye sees and comprehends. But without strain, the divine truths and the most difficult knowledge is about our supreme being, but with a marvelous facility, without artifice and without study, even more. No one can know the substance of the natural things, the good that there is within, if not he who has created them. Therefore, no one is to marvel if in the soul where it reigns, our divine volition makes itself revealer of our divine being and of the things that he himself has created. So as we live more and more in his divine will, we're going to become smarter. We're going to know things that we didn't know before. We're going to be able to discern in a better way. Things would just come naturally to you. Know what's right and wrong. You discern things in a much greater way. But, you know, Adam and Eve had the gift of all this, the sciences. They understood everything. They understood the science of how things grew, everything that was. We have to learn those things. You know, when you're in school, you learn about osmosis and all. They had that gift. They knew everything about the animals, about the plants. So God is going to bring us back to that, I think, when we're all truly living in his divine will, that we'll have all those gifts. Adam and Eve had many gifts before the fall, but one fall, and that was it. But then, you know, the test that he gave Adam was very, very small. Gave him all these fruits to eat, all these trees in the garden of paradise, and one tree he couldn't eat of the fruit, and he couldn't do without that. Our Lady was asked a much greater test, never to live in her will, in her human will. To die to her human, she was given much greater tests than Adam, and she passed it, you know. And so we have to ask our Lady's grace to try to imitate her in this. And only through God's grace can we do this. Only through God's grace could our Lady do it, you know, but she was given a special grace from God. And that's why she can say beautifully in the Magnificat, my soul, he has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She knew it was only because of God that she was who she was. And now we can ask for the same gift, and they want to give it to us just through the desire of our hearts. Just keep desiring, keep asking, keep desiring, and God will grant you the gift totally in his time.
Right. You know, you mentioned earlier, Mother and Sister, about, you know, how the evil one knows our weaknesses. So if we go back to, let's go back to Eden and the serpent. Yeah, Satan, he didn't approach Adam. He approached Eve. And remember what he said, very clever. He just said, go eat that fruit. And Eve said, no, God told me I cannot eat it. And then Satan, very clever, he says, did God tell you that directly? And she says, come to think of it, no, because Adam was the only one that was told by God. And then Adam conveyed it. So he planted a seed of doubt. And then her own personal wants, her own personal human will, wanted it. And of course, you know what happened to Adam. So yeah, again, be on guard. Again, if we're a little, if we're naive in certain aspects, like if we're going for a home mortgage, bring an expert with you. Because there's a lot of things that are, a lot of people that are, let's call it what it is, they're unscrupulous. And they want to take advantage of people. You know, Satan took advantage of Eve and of course caused Adam to fall. But you know, we got back more than what we lost.
Mother? And Eve also doubted Adam because our Lord told Adam not to eat of the fruit. She doubted Adam and he was the head, you know. And so if he wouldn't have eaten it, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today, you know. But, you know, our Lord has chosen our lady, second Eve. The greatest one to bring it back to us through bringing about redemption, you know.
Yeah, when the head is infected, the whole body is affected, so that's for sure.
Yeah, Mother, also one thing that I also learned from one of the speakers before was that Eve entertained this serpent. Yeah. So when we are tempted, do not entertain, do not try to converse with a serpent, or this is temptation, because that's how it also gets bigger.
Yeah, we should flee from temptations, because if you don't flee at the beginning, you go deeper and deeper in it, you know, and then you fall into grave sin, you know. So to get away from the temptation, to get away from things that are tempting to you, whatever they may be, people watching pornographic movies, you know, I mean, if they don't stop at the beginning, they're going to get so immersed in this. And this is one of the greatest addictions is pornography. It changes even the chemistry in your brain, from what I've heard, you know. It's hard for people to get away from it after they've gotten into that. So people can fall into these traps. They think it's something innocent when they begin with it, and they get deeper and deeper into it. And then they fall into grave sin, addictions, and they're stuck. And they're in a mess, and it's very difficult to get out of those addictions, whatever they may be.
You're right. And in a world like we're in now, Mother, too, we have to look at the friends we keep and the environments we put ourselves in. And I think not directly related, but indirectly related, St. Cyril of Jerusalem gives us a great example, especially of the heresies that are happening and maybe the heresies to come. He says something like, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. So, again, we have to just realign. That's a tough love sometimes, if we have to, you know, stay away from people only because, again, their road may be drawing us or leading us down to sin or that temptation of sin. We want to stay clear of that.
I think we have to know what the church teaches too. So we're obligated to know that. And how do you know it? Reading the catechism, studying the catechism, right. The true catechism of the Catholic Church, because right. You can get different people out there, even bishops and priests, telling you opposing things. So how do you know the truth? Go to the catechism and you'll know the truth.
Yeah. Our Lady prophesies that too, right? Priest versus priest, bishop versus bishop, diabolical disorientation. We're living it. Our Lady's been helping us the whole way. Sorry to interrupt you, sister.
No, it's okay. Interrupt me all you want. Okay. Save me a little embarrassment of, you know, not being very eloquent. Okay. I just wanted to read everything that everybody had been saying was reminding me of something I read today. It's basically later on in the passage that I was reading earlier from volume 12 of Our Lady's book. And Our Lady says, "Oh, how much I have loved you, my child. I wanted your acts within mine in order to render you happy and to let you reign together with me. And oh, how many times I called you and your acts, but to my greatest sorrow, mine remain isolated. And I saw yours as though lost within your human will, forming, horrible to say, the kingdom, not divine, but human, the kingdom of passions and the kingdom of sin, of unhappinesses and misfortune. Your mama cried over your misfortune, and for each act of human will that you do, as I know the unhappy kingdom to which they lead you, my tears are still pouring to make you comprehend the great evil that you do. Therefore, listen to your mama. If you do the divine will, joys, happinesses will be given to you by right. Everything will be in common with your creator. Weaknesses, miseries will be banished from you. And then you will be the dearest of my children. I will keep you in my same kingdom to let you live always of divine will." We're silly. Like Adam and Eve, they had everything, happiness, infinite joy, perfect union with God at their fingertips. And they went grasping for something else. And that's what we do. Sister Benedicta was talking about before, you know, we have to stop thinking about ourselves. And I think a big part of, you know, at least I could speak for myself, we think about ourselves because we're afraid, like Adam and Eve, we've lost that trust. So those like constant thoughts that we have of ourselves is really almost like a panic. It's like, we're trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to continue to clothe ourselves. Like Adam and Eve, they realized they were naked and they were ashamed. That's what we're doing. It's like, we're trying to constantly build up that wall of defense, create these false selves with our talents or with, you know, our charm or our beauty or whatever it is that we feel gives us value. And Our Lady's just like, just give it to me, because you know what? It's so stupid because none of that makes us happy. None of it. We maybe get moments of pleasure. It reminds me of another day in the Virgin Mary book where Our Lady calls the human will like the martyrdom of martyrdom, you know, a martyrdom without any fruit, without any benefit, without any joy, but with a few flashes of lightnings. And we get that. We get those satisfactions, you know, maybe people praising us, being appreciated, that kind of makes us feel like we have value. But in the end, it doesn't make us happy because we can't constantly have that. It just becomes an addiction and a constant grasping. And I love this passage because Our Lady's basically saying, just give that to me, you know, give up the lesser and I'm going to give you the greater. I'm going to show you what true happiness is. And it's in the divine will. And what is living in the divine will? Knowing that we are loved perfectly, becoming images of our perfect and loving and eternal Father. So I think so, if we keep that in mind, I know that's what helps me, you know, in moments where I get caught up thinking about myself and I'm afraid and all, you know, the junk that we all have inside ourselves. I just stop and I just receive the love of the Father. And I ask him to come into my heart and look at all that stuff that I'm not so proud of and I'm ashamed of. And I ask him to actually just go in those places and let him take care of it. So I don't have to look at it. I don't have to focus on it. I don't have to think about myself. He's the one taking care of it. He's the one healing it. He's the one coming in. And at the same time, in those areas that I have fear or shame, whatever it is, I'm feeling that love from him. And actually that's, to me, the secret weapon for living in the divine will, because the more we feel loved, even in our miseries and weaknesses, like Mary Magdalene, you know, she was forgiven much, so she loved much. The more we're going to naturally love God, and the more you love somebody, the more you're willing to make sacrifices, the more you're willing to die to your own will, because you're tasting, you know, with your own hands. That doesn't make any sense. Tasting with your own tongue. I don't know. The love of God and how much better it is than these passing things that we just always want to grasp onto.
I can summarize that too. That was eloquent. Ask, be still, and receive. Because it's in that stillness we can hear him and we can feel what we're receiving. And the Marian silence. It was so beautiful. You know, at the wedding of Cana, Our Lady made one of her greatest statements, and she repeated it. You know, do you wish to conquer all evils? Do whatever my son tells you. Do you wish to obtain grace, even one that's difficult to obtain? Do whatever my son tells you. Do you wish to have also the very best basic things that are necessary in life? Do whatever my son tells you and desires you. So again, that's a very simple equation. And it's all here in the Book of Heaven and the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom.
That's true. And also actually when Blessed Mother says, do whatever my son tells you. And what did his son tell us? He said, be like a child. And Sister Francesca mentioned about, you know, not looking at ourselves. Look at the child. That's the child, when he's born into the world, he carries with him original sin. So that's why when we steal little kids, do you think these are sins? Do you see some kids, you know, trying to steal something or watch their parents if they're watching, you know, and they do some naughty things, you know, because they have these original sin. That's why we have to teach our children as a child. We need to really teach the child good behavior, because they are not born saints. We have to form them according to God. And so when Francesca mentioned earlier, thought made me think about the child, you know, like we ought to be like that child, never looking at themselves, never looking at their fault. They're just being themselves. And that's what we are. And then when we forget about ourselves, our miseries, if we give everything to our Blessed Mother and allowing our God to embrace us, then that's when we have peace. And we don't, you know, and of course, that doesn't mean we don't examine ourselves. Of course, that's maturity too. We have to be spiritually matured so that, you know, we ask for that grace of self-knowledge And so when we know ourselves, then we ask the grace for healing. You know, if there's healing that needs to be done inside our soul because we're wounded, you know, we're wounded creatures. And then and trust that the Lord will heal. And then test comes, you know, when we ask for this, for Lord, heal me from my pride, heal me from my lack of humility, then you will be tested. Things will come your way that will test your humility, that will give you the opportunity to be humble, opportunity to be courageous, opportunity to be anything that God wants you to be, to form you, to become a better person, a better version of yourself. And then we also, like Mother said, to desire is the first step. After the desire is to act upon it, because if we stop at desire, you know, it's not going to do either. So we desire to know God, to love God. That is the best desire, to live in the divine will. Then we read, we study, we go to the teachings of the church. What does the church teach? The Bible, the divine will books. And then when we have this knowledge, it expands our love for God. It even expands more of our desire. We want to go deeper. And then once we have this self-knowledge, we also need to practice it. We need to put it into action. We cannot do it on our own. We need each other. We need, like in our community, we're so blessed. We have sisters here that we have the same goals in life. We all want to live in the divine will. We help each other. And there's many opportunities in living in communities. If you are by yourself, if you are a hermit, you still have communities. You go to church, you have your friends around you. You're not really alone in the island. And so everything is opportunity. Everything is opportunity to live in the divine will, to become a better version of yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, I was chuckling. Sorry about that. But we were just talking about Our Lady saying, listen to what my son tells you. Listen to what my son tells you. And then if we take that and then go to the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom meditation number 6, it says, quote, he said, Jesus says, quote, if you want graces and miracles, go to my mother, as I will never deny her anything she asks of me. Full circle. It's really so easy, yet so difficult.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you were saying that. And I was just I just wanted to share a passage that seems really exactly as Our Lady's Flame of Love from Elizabeth Kindleman. It this passage just really looks like Flame of Love. So it's from volume 15, 1923, June 15. What perfect charity is. Now, as he was saying this, he let many flames unleash from his most holy heart, which filled heaven and earth, and then uniting together formed one single flame. And he added, continuous flames of love come from my heart, and to some they bring love, to some suffering, to some light, to others strength, etc. And since they come from the center of the furnace of my love, even though they do different offices, since one is the purpose, to send love to the creature, they are all flames which uniting together form one single flame. The same with the creature. Even if she does different things, the purpose must be love, in order to form many little flames from her actions, which uniting together will form the great flame, which will burn everything and will transform her completely into me. Otherwise, she will not possess true charity. Yeah, so, I mean, as Our Lady said also to Elizabeth Kindleman, the flame of love is Jesus himself. Really, it says here the love will burn everything that is not God, that is not his will. So and she also said only by this we will conquer the evil. With flames of love we will conquer the flames of the evil one. So yes, I think really that it's all very much connected, the divine will and the flame of love, and it all goes to the same thing. Yeah, thank you.
The flame of love is really divine will, the love of the Trinity coming through the world, to the world through Our Lady. And he explained that to Elizabeth Kindleman, but it blinds Satan. The flame of love will inflame all hearts to the love of God, which is divine will love, you know. So we pray that flame of love rosary every night in community. It's a very powerful thing. And then also the prayers before, what is that? Prayer. The unity prayer. We say that before we pray the rosary. It's very, very important to do that. Our Lady wanted wanted it prayed, you know.
He asked if you can close with prayer. Maybe we could pray that prayer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's just pray.
That'll be great. I just want to make one last comment, Mother. All roads lead to the divine will.
Yes.
And they're all important.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Mother, would you be so kind to end us in prayer, please?
Let's pray the unity prayer. O adorable Jesus,
journey together. May our hands gather in unity. May our hearts beat in unison. May our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. May our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the eternal Father.
Amen. And we'll pray a Hail Mary, flame of love, Hail. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. The effects of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity.
Amen. Thank you, Mother, and thank you, sisters. It's been, it's fun. It's fun. It's enjoyable. We're learning, we're journeying, and we're understanding from each and every one of you. So we're really, really blessed to have this time together. So I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves. And just before we go right now, in about 28 minutes or so, Father Celso will be joining us. So we're going to keep the line open. We'll go to adoration once we drop off. But now we're going to have an opportunity to say goodbye to Mother and the sisters. So I'm going to, everyone can unmute themselves if they so desire. Thank you. Thanks,
Peter. Thank you, sisters. Goodbye. It was so wonderful to pray the unity prayer with you. That was so special. And to do the Blessed Lady. Spread the effect. Just love it. Thank you so much. We love to hear all of you talk. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you, sisters. God bless you.
Thank you, sisters. And yes, I agree with Margaret. The unity prayer and the divine and the flame of love rosary is so wonderful to pray with you. God bless you.
Thank you, sisters and everyone.
We'll pray for you. Pray for us. In the divine will.
Thank you, everyone.
Jesus, pray my praying.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah. Thank you, sisters and mothers.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
I do nothing. I do nothing. I'm enjoying the whole thing.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye, sisters. Bye, Mother.
Bye. God bless.
We are so blessed. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. I know it's late there, and we'll see each other on Thursday on Radio Maria, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the feast, right? The Feast of the Ascension. That should be an interesting program on Thursday. So we'll see everyone hopefully there. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone.